there. Welcome to Ag Trends by AgVend, a podcast where we dig into a new era in ag retail and explore the strategies being used by pioneers in the ag industry.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Ag Trends, a podcast by AgVend. I'm your host, Anna Cardoz, a product marketing manager with AgVend. And today we are joined by two special guests who happen to have a podcast of their own, Matt and Travis, who run the On the Ground podcast from River Valley Cooperative. So Matt and Travis, welcome.
Thank you for having us, Anna.
Thanks for having us on.
So tell us a little bit more about yourselves. Matt, we'll start with you. Tell us about yourself and how you landed at River Valley.
Yeah, so currently at River Valley here, I've been here for 5 years. So I am the Precision Ag Specialist, and I have the lead of our group at this point. Came to River Valley actually as an account manager in the agronomy side. So I was out selling, working with growers, and now have kind of shifted to the precision side. But my previous job, I used to be a precision ag manager for another local co-op. So I've got extensive knowledge in all the precision stuff.
Fantastic. And Travis, give everybody a little bit of background on you.
Yeah, so I've been with River Valley just a little over 2 years now. My role is actually the seed execution lead. Yes, that is an actual title. And I have spent the last 9 years in the seed business, but just the last 2 years in the co-op system. So I was a district sales manager for a couple different companies. We did some bouncing around, kind of a similar deal as Matt here. Followed my wife through vet school and through her first experience in the working world, and then found my way transplanted over to Eastern Iowa. And the big reason why I kind of decided to come on River Valley is that I like the camaraderie and the ability to work together in the co-op system to bring all parts of the business with the kind all together and bring seed into that.
Fantastic. So give me a little bit more of a breakdown on what you do in your roles at River Valley. So Matt, you said you started as an account manager and now you focus primarily in precision. So kind of what's the difference between those two roles and what kind of makes up a normal day in your life?
Oh gosh, I don't, as the kid always will say, sometimes if everybody questions what I actually do anymore, but we'll do my best here. So as an account manager, some will call it kind of a sales agronomist. So my lead at that point was working with growers, helping make them fertilizer recommendations, chem recommendations, scouting field, going through, making fertility side with grower rate, all those pieces along with seed. And obviously, like I say, the opportunity to come to the precision side. So my extensive work back in the day with precision. So always enjoyed it ever since college at that point, when it was just in its infancy. But as of now, it's leading our precision group. So I got a little supervisory role as well, but mainly it's setting some of our programs, our initiatives, working with formulas in our variable rate side, coordinating also with our samplers, our lab company. We use a outside service for our nutrient recommendations. So I work with that as well. And it's also a little more of monitor setups, working with some of those kind of pieces, and just general data management, doing some trial work. So, kiddingly, a lot of my time is a little bit spent behind a computer. Sometimes it's a little monotonous, a little cyclical as it goes through the year, but a lot of behind the scenes stuff for the most part. But every so often, I like to sneak out of the office and, you know, get out into the field and actually see what happens. So,
when they let you, when they trust you to get out of the office.
I usually have to go out the window.
Yeah.
Jump out. So
yeah, but that behind the scenes stuff is just as important. So I'm sure that your roles continue to support the growers and support the account managers who are out there creating some of those chem recommendations, crop protection plans, etc.
Hey, you hate to sometimes just categorize the precision side, but it's really a support part for our account managers. We know that their expertise is in helping, you know, place seed and the chem recommendations and even fertility recommendations as well. But sometimes it might be a little more difficult of getting, say, a recommendation into a monitor or working through some of the small pieces. And that's where our staff jumps in and says, you know what, I'm the expert. I'll take that off your plate so that you can do something else at that point.
Love it. And Travis, give us a little bit more about your role and what a normal day looks like for you.
Role as well. So you know, our agronomy account managers are really, you know, they're knowledgeable in a wide range of everything agronomy. So I kind of like to look at them like the Swiss Army knife, and I'm really just more of like just the can opener part of it. So, you know, my role is strictly just, I live and breathe seed. That's what I enjoy. Starting to learn a lot more of the other side of the business now that I'm with the co-op, but I really enjoy the seed side. I like the genetic side, the, you know, the different packages and what's, and what we're really doing and placing seed for the right seed for the right acre of that grower. So my job is to work with our partners in the industry, with their agronomists, figure out the next best thing coming with genetics and tape packages and, you know, everything that goes into that with corn and soybeans, and relay that to our sales team and help them with placement. I do enjoy getting out. I'm getting more and more out with the grower level with our account managers to talk about those placements and things of that sort. And then in the summertime, it turns into more of an agronomy role where it's a lot more field scouting and just supporting our staff or our sales staff on that side too. So
I want to go back to, you said you're a can opener. I'd like to think of you more of a screwdriver, if anything else.
Ball can opener.
Yeah. That's more fitting.
Well, so since you guys have both been in the ag world for quite some time, I'm sure you have a pretty interesting take on this next question. It's how we kick off almost every podcast here. So, you know, for both of you, Travis, I'll have you go first. What is an innovation in ag that you thought would never take off, but actually has and is actually making a big impact on the industry?
Maybe drones. I obviously thought there was a play for them, but at first, when they first came out, it was kind of, oh, that's neat. You can see to the back of the field. And, you know, the drone technology at that time was still in its infancy. So a lot of times it'd be, well, yeah, a guy came out and flew a drone in my field, and then he lost it for an hour and he couldn't find it. We found it at harvest, you know, so that kind of thing that in its infancy, I thought like, ah, I don't know, that's kind of a gimmicky thing. It's kind of neat, but man, just how much we're starting to use them ourselves for scouting purposes, for mapping purposes with on the seed side. And then, you know, now that you're hearing some of these other things with some things coming out with spraying and spraying chemical and fungicide with drones. And so to see that kind of start to take off, that's a really big piece that I think is something that I didn't really maybe foresee being as big of a deal as what it is. So,
Matt, what about you?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I can follow up, Travis. That was a really good, a really good piece of it that I also kind of looked at and went, that looks pretty fancy, but will be applicable. But probably the one thing that if I had to that's still kind of fairly current is, that's a little near and dear to my heart, is wireless data transfer. When I had kind of seen that, I come from the old school, we'll call it if anything else, back in my day, you want me starting those stories, Travis, but, you know, a lot of cards and a lot of transferring in that way. And it, even though while it still had its problems every so often, it was I felt like a really reliable system to transfer information. And the fact that a grower could get that information, you know, ASAP right away, I didn't see a huge benefit with it until I really got immersed into it and started seeing that, boy, if I can get that to a consultant 5 minutes after I pull out of the field, boy, the implications that has, you can make an applicator out in that field a day earlier. Suddenly tillage can maybe be coordinated a day or two earlier or so. And it just speeds up the process. But sometimes, I always say we got to sometimes hold back and slow down, but at the same time, we battle Mother Nature almost on a daily basis. And sometimes that day or two that we've gained from having data transfer is probably going to be beneficial to us. So,
yeah, well, that's actually one of my favorite answers I've ever heard, because I actually helped when I worked for Deere, for John Deere for a few years, that was actually a product that I helped introduce, was wireless data transfer back in the day. So that's, I'd say, probably my favorite answer to date. So well done.
Yes. Now, that's what I was going for, but no, yeah.
Yeah, you did your research, apparently.
No, that was more luck of the draw, which is kind of how I usually go, so.
But you bring up a really good point, you know, so not only from the actual, like, machine, you know, when you're applying different chemicals or, you know, different
crop protection pieces, getting ready for those Mother Nature battles that we all face. Having that instant access to information, I think, is becoming increasingly important, whether it is that precision information or if it's even the information that a grower needs or a sales agronomist needs to manage those accounts and those relationships. You know, being tied to a desk, unfortunately, like you seem to be more now than you were previously, Matt, but it can be really tricky for those account managers and sales agronomists when they're out there trying to serve as many growers as possible. And so, you know, that's one thing I wanted to pick your brains about a little bit is, you know, how has that role of a sales agronomist or an account manager really changed in the last 5 to 10 years? What do growers expect, you know, to have happen with those sales agronomists? And how do we think that that's going to continue to change?
Well, I guess, yeah, I'm very loaded question. We'll say if anything else, or at least.
I like to you with the heavy ones. You know, I don't want to, no easing into this anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Deep thoughts or so. But no, and when you look back at it, the ability to have that information and being able to share it. So that's part of the, probably one of the bigger demands has been that everything's moving so much faster. I mean, I haven't yet met anybody in agriculture particularly that hasn't said, look at the innovation that we've made over the last 5 years. That is, it's just compounding more and more. And, you know, people 15 years ago or 20 years ago just cannot fathom how fast everything changes. So, you know, with all these changes in information that's flying through, the account manager, the sellers of today need to be able to access that and have all that information, because something might change from day one to day two in some sort at that point in time. So just being able to be reactive and fast, I guess, is one of the big keys, I guess I would say.
Yeah. I guess I would kind of piggyback off of what Matt said in a way. You know, it used to be the decisions were made largely in person. You know, the farmer would come into the co-op, sit down, have a long discussion about their plans, and each individual farm and farmer would go through that for the most part. I think now with the digital platform side of things, and especially in the world we live in 2020, has become so much more not in person. Still personable, but not necessarily in person. And our farmers have changed so much too. You know, they're not just out there planting and harvesting their crop. They're scientists, they're climatologists, they're marketers, they're agronomists, you know, everything that goes into that. So, and what we have a hard time with sometimes, I think, remembering is that we're actually a very small part in their day-to-day, but we need to be, you know, the biggest part of that moment when they call and ask about something or when they are reaching out for something. And that's where tools that are allowing us to give a quote or give a plan, live feeding that to our customers, is definitely evolving the way our account managers do business with our growers. So,
yeah. And how do you continue seeing that changing? You know, you mentioned 2020, it's been a weird year all around. And I think it's forced a lot of change in ag retail specifically that we've seen. I think we all knew it was coming, but maybe in 5-ish years. But because of everything that's happened, we kind of got forced into a lot of this change and a lot of the kind of moving some of those in-person conversations to online while still knowing that relationships are very important and that they'll never go away. But how can we make sure that we have at least some digital touch points in between when we can't be in person? So, you know, how do you kind of see the growers' expectations continue to change to lean maybe more towards some of these digital engagements? And, you know, is that in part because of grower segments changing? Is that because of just what we've seen this year? Like, what do you guys think will the trend continue like?
Yeah, I would say that the trend is definitely going to keep continuing down the line. And obviously this was the push, the big giant rock rolling down the hill. It's now definitely gained a lot of momentum that, like you say, we've had to adjust. And I mean, at certain points, we feel like we've been zoomed out, we'll call it, of meetings and everything else. But understand that suddenly when you can get in front of somebody, as in a virtual meeting or some kind of piece, it suddenly becomes that much more important. You suddenly have to make sure that when you're delivering value, you're delivering that value right off the bat. not the, sometimes we always say rolling the cob kind of thing at the farm gator. So those are sometimes maybe, particularly this year, has been a struggle because we don't have those opportunities anymore to have that time. So it's allowed us, I think, to one, develop technically on utilizing all the different services that are out there, but it's also, I think, made us a little sharper on how we approach that day then. Like if I'm gonna take 5 minutes of that grower time, how do I be as impactful and straight to the point and all those other kind of things?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. I think that, you know, it's an adapt or die type of mentality. You know, I think we're finding ways of being more efficient and more, I guess, hopefully more helpful to our farmers in that moment because we have such little time in person, and I think it also has helped our growers to see different ways of being able to do business with us, and maybe more efficient ways of doing business with us, and, you know, having a digital piece to be able to set the expectation of what we want to talk about with our grower at that moment to, you know, make them more efficient also, hopefully. Their lives are just as, you know, crazy as ours have been, so if not more so in a lot of ways. So to help them adjust through some of that, what the new world is, I guess, has been a big piece of that. So I can see that continuing in a big way.
So. Yeah. So Travis, you mentioned a little bit of making it, you know, a little more efficient ways of doing business, or, you know, giving growers some of that information right at the tips of their fingers. So give me a little bit more insight. You know, what's River Valley doing to help meet some of those changing demands for customers and really, like you said, kind of give them the insights that they need pre-conversation? So Matt, to your point, you know, when you're taking 5-10 minutes of their time, you guys are kind of hitting the ground running and aren't necessarily kicking the cob as much as you maybe used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, a big part is, you know, our partnership with AgVan and what we're doing on that digital space on our grower portal to be able to, for River Valley, to be able to, you know, write up a plan for fertilizer or chem or eventually seed, we're getting there, or to put a quote out there. So when a customer is ready to make those decisions, you know, it's not a long drawn out process for them. It's you know, they're able to see something in front of them in order for them to have a more in-depth conversation with our account managers, and they can see that right at the tips of their fingers with on their phones, or, you know, we're getting to the point where we can be able to show scale tickets to our customers through their phone apps, you know, show them their current bids on grain and our futures markets and things like that. That's been going on for a while, but to a more advanced degree, that everything's, you know, right there on the phone. It's not just for texting anymore. So that's a big piece to it.
And do you think that is changing the relationship that they have with you guys in any kind of way? Or do you think that, you know, how do you think that digital impacts that? We hear a lot that, you know, folks are a little bit wary sometimes of implementing digital tools because we do know that ag is an industry that is founded on relationships, and, you know, growers are still more likely to trust their advisor versus just something that they read online. So how have you seen the implementation of your grain tools and your agronomy tools kind of impact the relationship with your growers, or have you at all?
And I was going to say, I don't know if I've necessarily seen it disrupt that. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Everybody gets a little gun shy of like, well, now it's just a computer screen that's going to have that relationship, if you want to say. And I don't know, near and dear to my heart, I'm going to say agriculture is all about that personal relationship. I don't care who you are or where you go. There's something about ag that just brings everybody together. So I don't think you can ever remove that. It just allows us to have a different interaction. And I sometimes will sometimes say it isn't the usual 8-to-5 kind of operations for most of these people. You know, I always sometimes got to think back and, you know, this might not be their primary income is their farming operation. So maybe they have that town job that allows them to have a steady paycheck and then come home. And then now this is when they start making their farm decisions. Well, we're kind of trying to adapt to that whole piece so that really we're making ourselves somewhat available on those after hours to allow them to have those discussion pieces, be able to go online access and see those, the quotes and the plans, and have that interaction with the people at that point in time.
Yeah, and I would almost, I would say that in some of the situations I've seen, it's actually strengthened some relationships. You know, it's just another tool. You know, I look at it like any tool, like a wrench. You know, you still have to have someone turn that wrench. You know, you still have to have someone utilize that relationship. So, you know, there's times in the past where it gets busy for the farmer, it gets busy for our account managers, they're playing phone tag all day. Well, there might be a situation where something gets sent over from the account manager. You know, a notification comes up to the grower, and they know right then and there that, hey, you know, Matt's working on something for me. Give him a call, and now you're having that conversation live, and that for that relationship is always going to hold a piece, I think. You know, I think agriculture, like Matt said, is always going to be a personal business. We just need to adapt in the way that we personalize our experience for them. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it's strengthened it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, Travis, that you can personalize the relationship even if it's digital, right? I think there's a really special way to connect account managers to their customer base in these apps. And one, give the sales team access to information they need so they can answer some of those grower questions without having to pull out their laptop or without having to, you know, call the office and disrupt the folks in the office from whatever it is that they're actually working on. And really just with a couple of clicks of their thumb, you know, they can grab that information right off of their phone. And in the same vein, like you said, give growers the ability to know that when they're requesting a quote or pricing information, that it's going to that account manager, that they're seeing it and they have the ability to, you know, respond to it or call them and kick off the conversation that way. It kind of gives you a little bit more of a starting point to really help kind of move that relationship along or continue that conversation along, I should say. And it's kind of an interesting point. You know, when I chatted with Shane Thomas months ago, but he was mentioning kind of the change that he's seeing in value-added services and what the change in value-added services is starting to become. And so I'm curious to see if you guys see any of those value adds changing from your perspective or starting to change. You know, maybe it's not walking fields 20 times in a season, but is it something else? Is it, you know, really being easy to do business with or having digital ways to interact or even pay invoices online? Like, what are you guys seeing from your customers or hearing from your customers?
Yeah, I would say, you know, ease of doing business, kind of like what you mentioned, you know, maybe paying invoices online or, and maybe bringing more value than just someone out there scouting a field. You know, I mentioned drones earlier. That's been a big piece of what we've done this last year. Even if it's just something as simple as, you know, flying a field to find a troubled area in the field to know where to scout instead of just a, you know, walk out in a random spot type of approach. So it made us more efficient that way and hopefully added value in that way, and that's on that digital piece. So same thing with, you know, having your grain merchandising or grain marketing right there at the tip of your fingers on your phone app, and being able to have more value added conversations with our marketing team. Yeah, things like that I think have really added value to our customers and to us as well.
Yeah, you know, it's the value is always a loose term on what is that value. You know, you can value to me is a lot different than a value to say to Travis at that point in time. But, you know, we're hoping that it's the ease. You know, some of it has to be ease. It has to be somewhat easy to use, easy to understand, and hopefully take something else off my plate that makes it easier for me to do business and go on with something else. So I think we always try to look forward to that piece and try to, you know, make sure that's one of our top priorities, that whenever we look at anything, whether we implement within our River Valley Cooperative at that point, is this going to be ease? Can we, easy for us, easy to implement, easy for the grower as well?
Yeah, and you know, the grower landscape is changing, and not just because of 2020, but we are seeing, you know, consolidations out there, generational changes. And I think a big part of that ease is also giving the grower the opportunity to choose where and when they do business with you and how they do business with you. You know, some growers want to be able to do business digitally or pay invoices online. I mean, think about how many bills you pay online or your significant other. I mean, we pay 100% of our bills online. And my parents who farm, they pay almost every invoice that they possibly can online because it just saves time and it's easier. But you also want to make sure you're meeting those growers who, you know, again, like my dad really prefers those in-person conversations when it comes to actually making a purchase. He doesn't mind reviewing something online, but when it comes to the handshake and making the purchase, that's still really important to him. But, you know, really, I think that's part of that ease of doing business is giving growers the choice. They can do a portion of it digitally, they can do all of it digitally, or they could do none of it digitally, but they still get to interact with River Valley on their kind of on their terms.
Yep. No, that's dead on for what I was thinking as well is that, you know, I always sometimes will kiddingly envision that, you know, if we make a plan or we make a proposal to that grower, he's looking at it at 7-8 o'clock at night. He's kicked back in the recliner. This is his time to relax and kind of really focus on what's going on. Not the saying that they don't ever forget what they had going on for the day, but this is maybe their time where they can just kind of focus on what they need to do and plan. And it's a great opportunity. I always envision pulling out their iPad or pulling up their phone and being able to look at it and give it the time and attention that they need. Whereas you catch maybe at some point during the day, they're worried about, I got to get this tractor from here, or I got to get a combine, or I got to move grain, or there's all these other things that maybe take away from that decision-making at that point. So definitely allowing them to do it at on their own terms. I think to me, I'd enjoy it. If I was putting on their boots in the morning, and I like to, I'm very particular, we'll say, if anything, like when I want to start doing my things and my thinking and whatever, I like to do it at set times a little bit.
Yeah, well, is it because there's only set times of the day that it happens, or?
Usually that's part of it, if anything else. I can only focus. I must have a little attention issues or so.
But you're exactly right. You know, it gives them access to their retailer 24/7 without having the account manager needing to really be available 24/7. Or, you know, when they wake up at 3 a.m. in a cold sweat because the weather has changed and that grower's like, shoot, I need to actually now get all of this product ordered or delivered or priced a day or three days early, they can then do that digitally rather than either calling their account manager, which I'm sure some growers have done, or waiting until 5 a.m, 8 a.m, whatever it is, and then feeling behind because they haven't gotten that jump start.
Yep. Right. Or just plain forget about it that, you know, I think about it at that 3 o'clock time frame, and then I don't remember it again probably till the next 3 o'clock time frame. So yeah, it definitely allows that better interaction at that point. And you know, sometimes the questions that we have can be answered simply by looking up something and just having that access there.
Yeah. So how do you guys continue to see digital tools or, you know, this information access playing a role in like the planning seasons? You know, harvest is over, we're getting ready for 2021. People are probably finishing up fall fertilizers. So how do you see these digital tools continuing to impact, you know, decision-making and purchasing habits as we move forward into the next season?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is maybe more of a broad answer, but I see it being a huge piece to our business moving forward for the next decade. I mean, not just the younger generation that is coming in, but some of the older generation that has really adapted and taken on the technology piece to help the other ends of their business now have, I mean, how much stuff do we do online, right? You mentioned you pay most of your bills online. I would argue my wife does most of our shopping online, especially in the 2020. I think we even get our groceries online now. So, I mean, that digital piece is at our fingertips all the time for everything else. And now they're starting to use it for agriculture as well and for parts of their business entities. So, yeah, I think as we start to make more decisions, especially I think the coronavirus and the 2020 year has forced some of that stuff to move a little quicker than it would have. But now they're starting to look on ways to make those decisions and do those things digitally now, like you mentioned. So.
Well, and even with the digitally being able to actually place that order or to do those kind of things, I look at it as, you know, maybe you still want to do that buying in person, but you're going to, you know, no different than I've purchased a couple of vehicles. I do a lot of research, we'll say, online and utilizing that information that wasn't probably there 15, 20 years ago when I was buying vehicles, is that I didn't have all that information at my fingertips, and being able to jump on and make some comparisons or see what the ratings are of everything at that point in time, you know. And then at that point, I know like buying a car is starting to even change the same way, that I can go online and order a car sight unseen and have it delivered on my front doorstep kind of thing. But, you know, that's probably an odd purchase for me, and I'm just not comfortable enough to do that. But at least, you know, I have the information that when I want to do it in person, I feel more comfortable or more confident that is a decision I should be making at that point.
And I like what you said there too about doing your research. You know, it also allows us as the retailer, when our customers do that research, to really, when they're ready to have that conversation with us, to really pinpoint down what part of their operation is most important to them. And that really saves everyone time too in narrowing down the scope of, you know, what that grower needs and what that farming operation needs for the 2021 season. So I think it just really eases things up for everyone and saves time and hopefully saves some money for them too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, I can tell you, we actually did buy our last vehicle all online and got it delivered. And man, it was pretty nice. I personally hate dealerships, but that was a pretty nice flow. But we're comfortable with that, right? You know, we had researched the vehicles that we were looking at. We knew exactly what we wanted, to your point. And then we just clicked and bought and were able to get it dropped right off, got order tracking and all that good stuff, you know? So it's pretty nice.
I'd agree with that. I mean, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have said, no way am I going to buy, you know, that I'm going to say sizable of a purchase or so. But I mean, it's almost becoming a common occurrence. I'm sure people are buying homes and everything else almost sight unseen. And a lot of times you can almost see it with all the virtual stuff that they can create out of it as well. So I don't know. Maybe it's shown my age or so, or as Travis would say, my lack of hair or loss of hair, that I'll get there. You got to give me a little bit of time to get comfortable with
the kids for being on his lawn.
Oh, so. Come on.
Guys, we're nearing the end of our time. And before I end with our staple question, which I hope that you all have prepared a couple of good answers for, I wanted to just see if there's anything else that we wanted to chat through that we didn't get to talk about today. Is there anything on your end that you wanted to share about River Valley or wanted to share about kind of your views on what we've been talking about today?
You know, there's probably not much. I mean, we've been talking probably some of the things that, you know, there's a lot of change. And I always say I'm excited and scared at the same time of what the change is going to look like moving forward. You know, they keep, you know, I kind of mentioned change is just compounding and it's getting faster and faster. I'm having a hard time trying to digest how much faster that can actually be and what it could turn out to be. I'm excited at the same point. I mean, things are advancing. We have technologies, whether it's coming in the seed, whether it's just the technical side and digitally the advancements that we're going to that. But I'm generally excited. And I think most of this change and how you adapt to it is always going to be the struggle. And I don't think it'll ever go away at that point in time. And hopefully, you know, we'll continue to keep our eyes focused on that. And even from River Valley, and I'm not probably at the point to say that I can vouch for everybody here, but I think that we're all going to keep continuing to look at that and see once how we can, one, challenge our growers, but make sure that we're doing it the right way and doing it the easiest way and trying to advance everybody throughout that.
Yeah, I would just kind of reiterate what you said. I mean, what I love about working for River Valley is I feel like we are advancing with the changing world that we live in the agricultural industry. But we're always doing it with the thought of what's best for the grower in mind. And how does that experience enhance our better relationship with our growers, then we're not going to do it. So that's the part that I really enjoy about it is River Valley moving forward in the right path, hopefully at the right speed also.
Fantastic. Yeah, fingers crossed on that one.
Fingers crossed. We're always crossed, but we're hoping.
You know, you guys are doing the right things, at least from my point of view, of investing in the right technologies and the right opportunities for your customers. So it gives them that opportunity, that choice of where and when they want to do business with you. And also means that, you know, when that shift or when that change becomes more of the norm rather than the exception of the digital interaction, you know, like people buying cars online versus, you know, 5-10 years ago where that would have been almost unheard of, you guys are prepared and you've already set those kind of standards, those processes, and you've worked out any kinks when it comes to your growers that the experience is as seamless and as easy as possible. And I think that's, at the end of the day, what's really important is making decisions with your growers in mind and, you know, almost kind of thinking about some of those decisions before they've thought that they need that decision or that opportunity to do business.
Yep. No, we hope so.
Okay. Final question. And I feel like you guys may have something that would be hilarious. Maybe it needs to be shared over a beer instead of here over a Zoom. But yeah, for what you can share today, what is the craziest or weirdest or wildest thing that a customer has ever asked you guys to do?
Yeah, so we thought long and hard over this whole idea. And much like you say, we had to be careful, which we had. But I'm going to kind of tee it off. We're going to have Travis tee it off. His takes a cake. We're just going to leave it there.
Okay, so I'll start by saying that this was not a River Valley customer. It was early in my career and in a different area. So if anyone's listening from Eastern Iowa, you're safe. So so this was on a pure cold call. So I was out prospecting for new business, trying to spread the word about seed corn wherever I could. So this brought me to a doorstep one afternoon, early afternoon, about after lunchtime. And a grower answered the door wearing nothing but his tidy whities. He proceeded to invite me in to talk seed.
Has he changed at this point, or?
He put on a shirt.
Oh, so obviously.
The pants, we never really got to the question of where the pants were. That was the first time in my career where I was actually trying to find a way to get out of the conversation about seed and get back in my truck. But the good news is we were able to place some seed on him and have a good result there. But I was thankful to be relocated out of that area after a year. So.
Our follow-up meetings with this grower, did he proceed to have pants on, or was this something that occurred multiple times?
The strange part was is we never had any conversation around like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I answered the door in my underpants, or let me go put some pants on. It was just business as usual. Let's just continue on. And every time they're on, I always called ahead, so maybe that helped. I did have his number. So important lesson out there for any new young sellers, get the phone number when you can and set up appointments. It's best for everyone. So
allows them to prepare to put pants on,
yes,
I guess.
Or prepares you in case they aren't wearing
pants. All right, that's fair enough. So yes, that's why I let Travis have that one. I could not top it, so I figured that was the better side of it, if anything else.
Yeah, I think that's honestly the best one I've heard so far of, like, the weirdest customer interaction. And my favorite part is that he put on a shirt and not pants.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in his mind, he was sitting behind the table, so he wanted to wear a shirt. I don't know.
Yeah.
Digital experience would have been better.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I mean, I feel like that's exactly what we need to go out on today. And, you know, as we get ready for the holiday season, it's a friendly reminder too for everyone to, you know, remember, is even if you're Zooming, to put on some pants.
That's right.
Well, thanks so much for your time today, guys. I really appreciate it. For anybody listening, you want to give a quick shout on how they can find River Valley or find you guys if they're in one of your covered areas?
You can visit our website, rivervalley.com. Follow us on Facebook, River Valley Co-op. Follow our Twitter feed, the Table Talk Crew. I'm Twitter at Table Talk or at RBC Table Talk. Or you can reach us at our at any of our location numbers that you can find online as well. We'd be more than happy to visit with you.
Well, thanks again for your time today, guys. And for anyone listening on Ag Trends, make sure you go over and check out On the Ground. They have a lot of good episodes and a lot of good content there as they're getting their podcast going. Thanks for tuning into Ag Trends. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact us with the information in the show notes. See you next time.